When he came to again, he was tied to a post in another room. He glanced around the room quickly and saw its nature. Posts, whips, nooses hanging from poles. Rock turned to see Kilov heating an already white-hot poker in the flames of a coal-burning stove. The KGB commander had his jacket off, and his skinny arms of pale, dead flesh held the burning steel up every few seconds to check its heat. Roxen pretended to still be unconscious as he watched the guards around the room and Kilov himself preparing to begin the torture of the ultimate American.
Ah, it's the perfect temperature. Now, Roxen, this may sting, but the pain will stop as soon as you tell me the location of your Century City.
Do your worst, Kilov.
Now, I'm sure you don't really mean that. I am the KGB, an organization that has been synonymous with pain for over 100 years. I can do things with just this white, hot poker here that will make you...
Bart! No! Don't kill him! That's what he wants you to do. Death before torture. We'll have our fun later. First, psychological torture. Then, pain. Give him the drug.
Rock looked directly at Kilov. The poker left a 4-inch long, bright red slash that ran from his eye to below his ear.
This is an aphrodisiac.
Why?
You'll find out.
Roxen couldn't imagine the purpose, though he quickly felt his loins burning with a strange intensity. The KGB officers took Rock back to his cell and left him there chained up again after slapping him around for a while. Rock sat on the floor again, quite satisfied with himself. He was still alive, and he had given Kilov a scar he would never get rid of. Something to remember Rock by, long after he was gone. He wondered what they meant by psychological, and what the injection had to do with it.
No!
Don't worry. We aren't going to touch you. Yet.
Suddenly, the large sheet between the two cells was pulled back. The guard immediately left with the sheet, and Rock knew what they meant by psychological torture. For there, in the next cell, lit in the dim slip of the moonlight from the narrow window overhead, was the most beautiful woman Roxen had ever seen. The milky rays of the moon bathed her long golden tresses. This lovely, ample daughter of America, barely out of her teens. Silky flesh raised on milk and butter and honey, with upturned, erect nipples, that lithe turn to her thighs, that flushed, rosy-cheeked face. Rock felt his loins swell and throb with desire. Desire that would have been overwhelming anyway, but now, with a powerful aphrodisiac injected into his bloodstream, it was unbearable. Desire turned to torture. The most beautiful girl he had ever seen, and she was stark naked. Perfectly proportioned, with crystal green eyes. He stared at her, and she looked shyly back.
My name is Kim. You're Ted Roxen. I heard the guards talking about you. I've heard so much about you. Every American has. I don't know what to say.
She looked down at her naked body, hands and feet chained to the wall.
Well, I must confess, it's not a usual introduction. Please don't feel embarrassed. The Reds want to play with our minds.
Are you seriously hurt? You're bleeding.
No, the Reds must have worked me over when I was out. I don't remember it.
He was shackled by the hands to a chain about 6 feet long. He rose and was able to nearly reach the bars separating the two of them, the chain stopping him about 6 inches away.
I'm afraid we meet at an inopportune moment. How did they get you?
Charles Langford and we...
Wait, the Charles Langford? Every free fighter knows of his endeavors to politically organize America. Why, I met him myself about 3 years ago. A great man. Is he...
No, he escaped. We were in the mountains heading from Casperville to Fantown. My father is in the process of organizing a reconstitutional convention to elect a Congress and a president so that the free cities can evolve politically as well as militarily. We were attacked by a KGB commando death squad. My father and his men managed to shoot their way out, but I fell off my damn high, Breton. When I came to, I was here.
Don't cry, Kim. Don't cry.
They plan to use me tomorrow. The officers are going to...
She couldn't finish, but the intention was clear. Roxanne groaned inwardly. He could feel his anger rising by the second.
I've heard that you bring luck, Roxanne, wherever you go. Maybe my fate isn't sealed yet.
I'm afraid my luck, except meeting you, has fallen off as of late.
She looked at him from the other end of her cell, about 10 feet away, where she stood, stretched to her full 5'2", her legs spread apart, feet chained. Her expression was strange, curious, fearful, and something else.
Roxanne, I am a virgin. They will... I didn't want it to be this way. I may be dead by tomorrow night, but first they will... take me, many of them.
She looked down at the cold floor, barely able to continue. But her own desires were stronger than her feminine shyness. She raised her head again, and this time her eyes were bold, flaming.
I want you to make love to me.
Well, I...
Rock was tongue-tied for perhaps the first time in his life.
It's not that I wouldn't love to, don't get me wrong, but we're not exactly in the best setup to...
I have my own secrets. Watch.
She squirmed in her chains, pulling her feet and hands this way and that, wriggling her extremities like writhing snakes. Slowly, ever so slowly, she began pulling free from the shackles. First, her right foot came free, popping from the chain suddenly. Kim smiled and continued to move her hands this way and that, first fitting the upper part of the wrist, then the blade of the hand through. Within 2 minutes, she was free. She looked at Roxanne and started toward him. She walked right up to the bars of his cell, so her body was about 8 inches away from his. He felt the ice-hard erection swelling under his zipper as her fingers traced down his waist to the clasp of his pants. Roxanne pulled himself as far forward as he could, holding his manacled hands behind his back and stretching the lower portion of his body as far forward as he could.
Here, let me.
She gripped her hands around the bars and put her legs up on the crossbar about 3 feet above the ground. She pressed the wet lips of her moist triangle forward.
Tomorrow we'll be dead. But for tonight, my love and my body is yours.
A single tear fell down each of her alabaster cheeks. He pushed with all his might to penetrate her, and she rolled her eyes heavenwards as the organ moved suddenly, cleanly into her. She waited a second, getting used to the newness of it all. Then she began moving, slowly at first, up and down on the long shaft. Then, with increasing vigor and jerking motions, holding onto his hips, her nipples squashed against the firm bars. It slid in and out in stronger and stronger pumps, filling her stomach. She moved on him like a knife cutting into deep velvet. They were reaching a peak. A series of quivers were the first signs from her. The relentless buildup of a bull-like sperm, of a Hoover Dam about to burst, sent shudders through his tortured body. Then they came, like a tidal wave, simultaneously gasping out and heaving in jerks of ecstasy. At last, they both subsided.
I love you. Can I say that, Ted Roxanne? Can I say it for just this night?
He stood up, looking at this beautiful creature before him.
Always. Always, because I love you too, Kim.
Tomorrow when they come, they'll find a woman. A woman who has already known love. They can do what they want with me now. I don't care.
He looked at her with tears in his eyes. Because he did care. Suddenly, he cared terribly what was going to happen. He couldn't let her die. Which meant he had to save himself as well, no matter what the odds. Roxen had seen perfect beauty, and it made him feel half crazy.
All right, woman. Get up. Hey, you're not in your chain.
Don't you fucking move, bitch.
It's okay. I won't.
Hey! Hey! Where the hell are you taking her?
Oh, you'll have your fun soon enough, Rox. See?
One of the officers squeezed Kim's left nipple. She closed her eyes in pain.
This is what we're going to do, scum.
Let her go, you fucking bastards! Let her go!
We'll have fun with her. She's a hot fuck.
He looked over his back at Roxen, who stared out with the rage of one possessed by demons. Rox stared after the departing woman he loved. He paced back and forth in the 6-foot area he could move in, furiously trying to figure some way out. Suddenly, two more guards appeared at the bars. His break. No matter what, he would escape.
Out, scum! You try anything, we shoot you down, starting with your knees.
Come with us!
They led him out and down the corridor. As they turned a corner, two bodies were stacked against the wall. Rock looked closely as they approached. He did know them. Lying on the floor were the bloody bodies of Dennis Chaplin and Richard Wilson, two of Century City's infiltration experts. Their guts were spilling out from their dissected abdomens. Rock saw something else as well. Their F2 issue boots. He hadn't been able to wear them into the city because of his disguise. But Rock knew that the boots had several devices built into the heel by Dr. Schechter's special weapons section.
Please. They're men from my city. Could I just say a brief prayer over them? It's their religion.
Oh, let him. He's chant. Besides, I want to see if God answers these Americans' prayers. Will your fictitious God bring down a bolt of lightning?
Oh, very well. Pray, Roxanne, pray.
Rock began moving his hands in circular motions over the dead men. And as he did so, he managed to turn and snag the heel of Chaplin's left boot. He pulled it quickly into the palm, shielding it from the view of the sneering KGB guards with his back. He pushed the switch that opened the hidden clasp, and the heel revealed two small capsules, a small explosive device, and a mini gas shell. Rock held his breath until the last wisp of gas vanished.
Come on. Where are they? Ah.
It felt good to be free, unshackled. He lifted the machine pistols from the red guards and quickly stripped one of them, taking his uniform. Not a bad fit. The black leather garment clung to his body, and the dark sunglasses would hide his features. He made a formidable KGB black shirt. He hid in the frame of a doorway.
Where's the girl?
The who?
Don't play games with me, mister. I have nothing to lose. I'll ask you one more time. Where's the girl?
I'll tell. Look, don't kill me, Roxanne. She's in room 371, next floor up at the other end.
Thanks.
Rock headed toward the elevator, trying to turn his head down as he passed a guard stationed by the lobby doors. The guard barely noticed, glancing up mindlessly and then looking down again at a dirty magazine imported from Moscow, hidden behind a rule and regulations book of the Red Army. Rock still didn't quite understand the mix of KGB and regular Red Army troops. Apparently, Kilov had taken over, yet he permitted many Red Army officers and guards to roam and work in the fortress.
They're probably all scared. The KGB knocks on their door and they roll over like dogs.
Rock emerged on the third floor and quickly found the direction to the room.
God help every man in there.
Kim was in the center of the room, naked, and trussed upon a wooden X, her hands and legs tied wide apart. But nothing had happened yet Rock could see instantly, beyond verbal humiliation. She was fully conscious, unmarked, and defiant. Six men stood around her, two beginning to unbuckle their pants. One of the officers that had taken Kim turned, an expression of abject horror on his face.
You!
Yeah, me, fellas. I thought I'd join you too. Show you how an American does it.
Rock ran past the mangled red things that had been men and cut Kim's bonds. She put her hands over her breasts, ashamed, and shivering slightly in the cold. Rock stripped off the clothes of one of the dead men and slipped the too large uniform over her slim, firm body.
We've only got one chance. You've got to do everything I say instantly without question. Can you do that?
I will, Rock. Trust me.
Her soft lips turned up at the sight of Rock's handsome face and powerful muscled body right in front of her. She threw her arms around his chest, gripping him with all her strength.
Do you realize we've never even held each other?
He squeezed her tightly, feeling more in love with this young female every second. There was something about her, something chemical, something electrical.
I love you.
And I...
Get down! You okay?
Rock took out the other pellet he had taken from the dead free fighter's heel, a small explosive charge the size of a 9mm bullet. He set the switch for 3 seconds with his fingernail. Before the roar of death had finished echoing down the halls of the mind-breaking building, Rock was heading through the splintered door, dragging Kim behind him. The hallway outside was a butcher shop of blood and splattered guts. Not a man remained alive in the group who had come to get him.
Jesus Christ! Schecter's little toys are getting more and more powerful.
As they ran, Kim almost slipped on a spine covered with a slushy red goo.
Don't look! Come on!
He looked at her sharply as they rounded a corner. Her pale color brightened slightly, and her face took on the flushed pink of anger and the will to survive.
I'm with you, Rock, all the way. And I can't bear to think of life without you either. We must both survive.
As they rounded the end of one of the long, maze-like halls, two officers practically bumped into them. Roxon didn't hesitate. Rock lifted one of the dead man's 7.2mm service revolvers, wiped the blood from the handle, and gave it to Kim.
Use it if you have to.
I'm ready, Rock. And if they catch us again, I'll use it on myself before I let them take me prisoner.
Don't talk like that, Kim. Don't even think like that. Shit. Let's go.
He pulled her and ran toward the third lobby and the elevators. He had heard some of the guards talking and knew that the mind-breaking equipment was on the 20th through the 30th floors. So far, so good. The automatic shutdown system hadn't had time to go on yet. He pressed 20 and put his finger on the trigger of the machine pistol.
I want you to fire as soon as these doors open. Can you do that?
I will.
Fire!
As the smoke cleared, bodies lay strewn haphazardly around like broken dolls covered with red paint. Whoever had been lying in wait, their own guns drawn, had received a murderous surprise, Ted Roxon style. He bent down and stripped the bodies of their weapons, 6 pistols, 3 submachine guns, and loads of extra ammunition. They'd need every bit of firepower they could muster. Rock knew that a war lay ahead of them. They had minutes at most before this floor would be filled with the KGB, and this time, they wouldn't be taken so easily. Kim helped Rock carry the additional weapons and clenched her lips tightly as they stepped across the still twitching bodies. They sped down the main hall, their arms absolutely filled with destruction. They came to a large wooden door with a small glass window at eye level. Rock's sixth sense told him that someone, more than one, probably was just on the other side.
Why are you slowing?
Just a moment.
He popped into the doorway, SMG ready to release another volley of death. But there was no need. Two Red Army regulars had been waiting. They waited too long. Kim ran in and joined Roxanne, and they moved forward cautiously. They turned the corner and came to one of the holding pens that the Reds stuffed their prisoners in while waiting their turn to be brainwashed. Nearly 400 American workers cowered behind the bars, sullen, terrified, staring at the half-naked nymph and heavily muscled man.
What the hell?
In his uniform and sunglasses, Rock looked just like another of the Red officers.
Stand back! I'm here to help you, not to hurt you! Back! Back, damn it! There's no time to play games!
The workers pulled to the back part of the cell, crunching against one another. Rock held the muzzle of the SMG to the lock.